Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
It's interesting during the news, by the way, they were talking about Donald Trump's latest executive order, which bans transgenders from entering female sports. And look, this has been coming for a long time. There's no surprise in this, by the way. What blows my mind is people seem surprised by his executive orders. Every single thing in his executive orders, he said he would do during his campaign. It's not like he didn't say he'd do these things. But somebody just texted in a few minutes ago and said, Niall, the LGBT community are saying that it's discrimination. But was it not discrimination in the first place to have a man, or a biological male, should I say, who identifies as a woman, you know, fighting in a boxing ring with a woman? Or playing some sort of physical sport against a woman, be it swimming or whatever it was, where they had a major advantage. Of course that's discrimination as well. You know, it's hard to keep everybody happy all of the time, but I think you have to be fair. The reason we have men's and women's sports is because men and women are inherently different biologically. I mean, when you look at athletics, for example, men's records tend to be quicker and faster and stronger than women's. That doesn't mean women are bad. It just means that biologically, on average, men are faster. Men are stronger biologically. I'm not, because I'm small and I'm not athletic. So there are a lot of women, I'm sure, who are a lot faster than me. But what I'm saying is that was the reason we divided, or many, many years ago when sports came about and athletics came aboard. If you want to go right back, I suppose, to Roman times, it was divided into two, men's and women's, for that reason, to make it fair. And then all of a sudden, we come along to, you know, the last 10 years, it seems that it's fair to let a biological male identifying as a woman into women's sports and spaces. And that's, it just seems wrong. So to then claim it's discriminatory when you get rid of that, it's a bit hypocrisy, really, isn't it? Because I believe it was probably discriminatory in the first place. Anyway, maybe we should do it as a topic. Maybe you disagree or agree with it. I'd be interested to know. Anyway, I wanted to talk about young people at the moment. A new study from the CSO highlights a major shift, with nearly 70% of 25-year-olds in Ireland still living with their parents. Huge difference to when I was young. When I was young, the average person left the house at 18 or 19 years of age. Fewer than 1 in 20 own a home. Not surprising with the price of houses. With soaring rents, house prices, moving out just isn't an option for many young adults, even those in a full-time job. You'd want to be Rothschild to buy a house in Dublin at the moment. And that kind of raises the question, should parents charge rent? Some say it teaches financial responsibility, while others believe young adults should be saving every cent for their future. And then it's okay to leech off mum and dad. And if parents do charge, how much is fair? A set amount? A percentage of their income? Which I think is probably the fairest way of doing it. We want to hear from you. Should young adults, you know, people over the age of 23, for example, living at home, contribute financially? Or is it unfair to ask your own child for rent, you know, in your house? Is that unfair to do? Particularly when the housing market is so tough. Let me know what you think. Is it fair to ask your own child to pay rent in your house? And would you do it? The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Jim first if I can. Jim, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Niall. How are you?
Good. Jim, is there anything wrong with asking your kid to pay rent?
I'll tell you what is wrong, Niall. They shouldn't have to ask. It should be offered.
What do you mean? Oh, so the kid should just offer to pay rather than have to be asked?
Yeah. Well, I would come from an era where you handed up a few quid if you're working.
Yeah, well, if I remember my first job, I was earning 50 quid and I gave my mother 20.
But there you go.
Yeah.
And that was a done thing. It wasn't even a thing, as the cool kids say.
No, you were expected do that. Yeah, your dad would say it to you, give your mother money.
I don't think perhaps it was expected, Niall, right? But I think it was a nod to their respect for their parents to give the money.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mark of respect to them for rearing them. And, I mean, if every kid got an invoice for what it cost to bring them up, be a serious invoice.
Mm. They say, economists say that you should pay, or most people should be paying, a third of their income on their accommodation. That's, anything over that is too much. Anything less than that, you get a good deal. So, like, if they were earning 3 grand a month, would you charge them 1,000 quid rent to live in your house?
No.
Okay.
That's capitalizing on the situation. I'm sure they don't want to be there, but the fact of the matter is this. If you start doing that, they won't be able to get a few quid to get out of the situation that they're in. So the parent shouldn't become the landlord, but the child should offer money as gratitude to the parent for continuing on the parenting well before the, or long after the kid should have been gone out of the house in the first place.
What age were you when you were out of your house, Jim?
I left when I was 12, Niall.
12?
Yeah, I used to rob the tinker's horses, so they sent me off to be a jockey.
Nice.
Members are going to kill me when I was older.
That's a whole other story, all right. Members of the travelling community, I'm assuming you're referring to. But yeah, so yeah, you at 12 years of age, you went off to train to be a jockey. And by the way, to play football, go into athletics, be a jockey, whatever it is, you do have to start at a very young age, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, were you a successful jockey?
No, it was useless. But see, what they used to do was, used as an initiation into the stables, right? Used to oil your private parts with a hoof oil. Four fibre holds you down and oil your balls. Excuse my language. Anyway, and the third time it happened.
And why would they do that? What was that for?
It was an initiation into the stables.
They'd rub oil on your testicles.
What?
They'd rub oil on your testicles.
Hoof oil.
Hoof oil, yeah,
no,
for the horse.
Hoof oil.
Yeah.
They throw it on your testicles and then throw straw on you, yeah?
Right. Oh, God.
Anyway, the second time
we're
the first time, I forget.
That's not a very attractive job. Okay, Jim, so getting back to young people today, I mean, I do have an empathy for young people because of the cost of accommodation nowadays. It's gone beyond a joke. I mean, the government, this sitting government, believe affordable housing is €420,000. So, I mean, who's able to get a mortgage approval for €420,000? You want to have a very good job, wouldn't you?
Well, Niall, the fact of the matter is this. You want to talk about the elephant in the room. You know, they can import the word, put pressure on housing, and it's normally the Irish people that lose out.
Yeah, it's not a good idea when you already have a housing crisis to, you know, have a free-for-all situation and an immigration chaos. I'm not suggesting that's not a good idea, because that just compounds the problem, of course. Yeah.
Well, it seems to me, Niall, that abort the Irish, export the Irish, and import the third world. That's the way Ireland has gone.
Yeah, well, some people may have that view. Others hold, I suppose, a slightly different view of it. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that our immigration system is not a mess. It is a complete and utter mess. And we need some sort of restrictions, and particularly at a time when we already have a housing chaos. Let me just go to Luke as well, if I can. Luke, hi, how are you doing?
Good evening, Neil. How are things?
Yeah, how are you, Luke?
Yeah, not too bad, now yourself.
Yeah, grand. Luke, should kids be paying, seems they're staying at home these days, should they be paying a rent to their parents?
The way I look at it is, if a young person can show to their parents that they're working hard and they're making the sacrifices in order to be able to go out on their own, they shouldn't be charged. But if they're pissing away their weekends and spending their money on fancy brands and whatnot,
and going on holidays to Tenerife every now and again or whatever it is.
Yeah. If they're storing their money, then definitely they should be held responsible as they should. But if you're willing to put in the work and make the sacrifices, then a young person shouldn't be made pay.
In other words, if they're saving like mad and you can see they're sacrificing, you should be assisting. You should be helping them and assisting them to do that. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. There's no point in hindering their efforts. If the whole purpose of staying at home in the first place would be in order to give them the ability to save. Whereas if they're going out on their own, they're spending most of their wages on rent, because rent's atrociously priced at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can house share. A lot of us did that when I was young. You know, you kind of house shared apartment.
In Cork?
Yeah.
In Cork, roughly in South or East Cork, the average house share price is up to €1,000 a month still.
Right.
Like that's still extortionist if you're considering you're only renting a room in a house full of people.
Yeah.
So it's not even that isn't an option for a lot of people nowadays.
Yeah, that's a lot of money if there's four people in a house. Landlords are doing well out of this, aren't they?
It's so much better than renting to a single family anyway, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I appreciate how difficult it is at this very moment in time for young people. If I had this conversation 5-10 years ago, it would be different. But I do appreciate, you know, how difficult it can be for young people to get on that ladder, to get on the property ladder, or even to rent. It can be very, very difficult at the moment. It means moving out of Dublin, moving out of a city.
Absolutely, which isn't an option for everyone either.
No, And that's why we're losing a lot of our young people, by the way. They're leaving the country because they can't afford to live here, which is quite sad, you know?
Oh, it's atrocious. There's many people leaving now, going for Australia and America and England and whatnot. And, like, it's an awful sad thing to see, isn't it? Like, we shouldn't be exporting our young people to other countries. We should be having the fruits of our labour here.
Now, there is also a cohort of young people who, I suppose, are using that opportunity to stay with their parents longer and not making a break from the nest, so to speak.
Those are probably the very same people who complain about the housing crisis the most. The people who kind of want the house given to them or subsidised for them to such an extent. Like the people who are actually getting up every day and going to work and just trying to build their future. They're the ones with their heads down and are not complaining. It's like the people who complain the most just expect things to be handed to them. But if you're willing to get out there and work, anyone can achieve it.
I mean, I know somebody recently, a friend of mine, and she got a job when she was earning, I don't know, 30,000-40,000 a year. And she literally lived on porridge and noodles for a year, didn't go out, didn't do anything. And within a year, she had enough money for a deposit on a one-bedroom apartment.
Exactly. And
It can be done if you make the sacrifice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you can show, and if a young person can show that to their parents, I believe they shouldn't be charged for rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Julie. Julie, how you doing?
How's it going? Yeah, I agree with that man. He's talking a lot of sense. That's the first man I've heard all day talking sense. But I'm not even joking with you. It's like, and he
said, men in general just
working.
Don't talk
they
sense.
They don't moan when they're working. Are you having a laugh? All they do is moan when they're working. Anyways, under 25, yeah, I do agree with them being at home. Look, if they want to give you something, if they can, and if you can afford to let them live there, I would. Like he said, depending. If they're in college and they're not just depending and they're not in bed every day.
Well, college. No, okay, up to 23 is college, right? That's fine. They're living in your house. I wouldn't expect them to pay rent because, you know, they're trying to pay college fees, or you might be helping them with the college fees or have a part-time job. I get all of that. That's fine. I'm talking about when they finish college and they have a job.
Well, they're finished college and they have a job. They should be, it's morals, isn't it, to hand, like, something, at least. If the bills are going up and up and up, then why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, you're using electricity, you're using gas or oil or whatever it is for the heat, you're using all of those things,
yeah,
and you're eating food, and you're sleeping in a bed.
Exactly. If you have a bed, well, you're lucky, aren't you? So I would, yeah, I'd consider myself lucky, and I'd probably hand over something if I had it, yeah.
Would you, if you were a parent, would you ask if they weren't willing to just voluntarily hand it over?
It depends what kind of a parent you are. You could be a parent that like gave silver spoons or gold spoons. You know what I mean? Like, it's up to the parents at the end of the day to put morals into their child. So, I would. If I was a parent and I had an under 25-year-old in the house, I'd probably, like, if they were working, yeah, I'd probably suggest they do something at least, even if they cleaned.
Yeah, but the danger of not asking them for money is that you're teaching them that life is free. You know what I mean? If you don't ask for
money.
You're
not just teaching them that. Like, they're going to be 30 and they're going to expect free flow.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they have to have value in money.
So, like, especially if they're working, like that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, I was working at that age and I had, like, it was just, I got paid and I gave what I had. Like, it's like there was obviously a conversation of how much you can afford, but it's just morals, isn't it? You give what you can.
And what age were you when you left the family home?
I've come and gone, so I've like that man said, like the rent, the house price, it's a crisis. It's just an absolute crisis. But what age was I when I left?
Yeah.
I've come and gone. So I've left, I've gone, I've come back, I've gone, I've come back. The bills have gone up, the bills have gone down. My man's sick of me.
You're like a pigeon. You're like a homing pigeon.
But you know
pigeon.
What? I was blessed at the end of the day because I did spend time in college and I was lucky that I had the family support.
Yeah, but when you went back, you said you left and you went back and you left and you went back. And I'm assuming, you went back the most recent time. You know, you weren't like 22 or 23. You were older than that and you had a job. Did you pay when you went back? Did you pay rent?
Yeah. Yeah, if I could, it's like, it's an obligation, isn't it? You have to do what you have to do. Like, you can't expect.
Yeah, but some kids don't see that obligation. Some kids think it's a free ride. Man, dad, pay for everything.
I didn't see that when I was under 25. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm. And are you back there now? Are you back in your parents' house now?
For the time being, yeah, because like I said, there's a crisis in this country and it's going nowhere. It's going down under. Absolutely. Like, it's disgraceful. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not willing to pay $2,500 like a month for a little dog box. So, yeah, I am. Until someone gets a bit of cop on.
And then, if it's not too personal of a question, are you paying rent right now to live in your parents' house?
Yeah.
Okay, so you pay them something, yeah, towards the rent.
Yeah.
Or the mortgage or whatever it is they're paying.
Oh, I have a list. I have a list. I get away with none. I have a list. I have a timekeeper. I have an absolute everything. I'm back in my ma's. What do you expect?
Yeah, and how does it feel to be back in your ma's? You know, and you know, obviously, I don't want to insult you,
like,
but you're not spraying chicken.
Again.
Yeah, you know
like
what I mean?
Like, I'm 15 again. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
15 again. Ticking the boxes. 10 o'clock bedtime. 8 o'clock, wake up and get a job. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're on your way to work and you're like, get a job. It's like, I'm on my way to work. It doesn't matter. I'll see you later. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's like being 15 again. But you know what? At the end of the day, there's reasons. Like I said, it's just the country is a crisis. And I'm not willing to like leave it like doctors and nurses. We need all them back. If we don't get them back, like we're in big, big trouble.
Yeah, but they're leaving. You know, yeah, but they're leaving for the same reason you're in your ma's house. Because they can't afford it.
No, they're not leaving for that reason. They're leaving for that reason and they'll bounce back to their ma's. This is the problem. This is the issue. They'll come back to their ma's. They'll leave for 10 years and they'll come back. They'll come back with their family. I've seen it. I have friends in Australia. I have friends all over the world. And they're coming back because they're literally there. They're trying to buy their property, whatever they're doing. And then the minority of them are home. And some of them are around my age are still in their parents because they have to be.
And I don't like asking a lady her age, but when you say around my age, what age group are you talking about?
In my 30s.
Yeah, okay. And
being, but I feel like I'm in my 60s, and that's not right the way we feel.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like you're in your 30s and you feel like you're in your 60s. How is that right? That makes no sense. And then you see someone walking up the road and they're probably like 23 and they're living life like, you know, like I'm going on holiday tomorrow. Are you? Well, when I was your age, I had about 10 jobs and I still couldn't go on holidays. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, see, I do see a different type of young person nowadays to when I was young. Because when I was young, you know, you kind of saved and saved and saved. And you didn't do all those
when
things.
When we were young, you had no choice. If you wanted something, you got up off your hole and you got a job and you got it.
And you saved.
That's the way it was.
Yeah, but,
and now we're
but young people nowadays.
We're in our 30s and we're like, uh-oh.
But the problem with young people nowadays is they think they're sacrificing and saving. But they still have their mobile phone bills. They still have their Sky, their Netflix. They're still going on a little holiday with their pals in the summer for a week to Portugal or whatever it happens to be. So they're still doing all of those things, but they think they're sacrificing.
Well, they're not really because, I'd love to be that age again, but then again, I wouldn't because it's a very sticky situation for people that are that age. Like, I can understand because, like, school is, like, they've a lot of problems. Like, they literally have a list of problems. So, like, there's a minority and a majority. And I know, like, both that are willing to get up and go to work. I know half that can't get a job. I know half that couldn't get a college place. You know what I mean? So it's a difficult, sticky patch for a few of them.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Stay there for a second, Julie. Paul, I'm going to come to you straight after the break. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. I'm asking you, do you have sympathy for young people over the age of 25, particularly staying with their parents, because they say they can't afford accommodation or anywhere to live? And do you believe that parents should be charging them a rent? Or would that be completely unfair? All right, let me go to Paul if I can. Paul, hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
You heard what Julie Dare said before the break. You know, it's not fun being back in your parents' house when you're in your 30s. You feel like you're 15 again. But she does pay a few quid. But, are you expected to pay some money if you're living in your parents' house?
I think that's old-fashioned thinking. I really do. That you have to give up something to your parents at the end of the day.
Why is that old-fashioned thinking?
It's because, as I was about to say, you brought these children into the world, and regardless if they're 1, 2, 10, 20, 30, they're still your children no matter what. So you're going to do anything for them to make sure they're safe, to make sure they have what they need to have. So I'm not the richest person in the world, but I go out, I come home from work, I live paycheck to paycheck, and I make it work. I currently, my kids are below 10, and I have credit unions set up for them for their activities. So when they have to go for their activities and they want to pay for their activities, well, then I make them go to their credit union, take out the money that they want to spend.
Well, that's good.
Anything else,
That's good. You're teaching them the value of money. But if you're letting your 26-year-old who's working stay in your house for free, that's not teaching them the value of money, is it?
Now, look, the reason I say this is because when I was young, when I was in my 20s, early 20s, I said to my mother and father, do you mind if I hold on to my wages so I can do certain things, go abroad and work or save for a mortgage or whatever? And the only answer I got was, who do you think is going to pay away when you're living here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I see that.
But at the end of the day, I'm their child. They brought me into this world.
With great respect, Paul, they brought you into the world, but they don't owe you, to pay for your life.
They don't owe me. They don't owe me anything. They never did.
I mean, once you're 18, you're on your own. I mean, that's the way it used to work, isn't it? Nowadays, 23, I suppose.
If you're going to take money off your child, no matter what age they're, if you're going to take money off them child, you don't spend that on yourself. You don't spend that on the bills. The bills are your bills. You put it up for them.
No, but the bills are not your bills. If your kid is 27 years of age and living in your house, they're increasing those bills by using electricity, by using heat, by eating food.
My child doesn't use my phone. I have a phone bill because it's my phone bill. I have an internet bill because we use the internet. The children aren't the only ones using the internet.
No, I'm well aware of that. And by the way, your kids are young. That's different.
The kids watch TV because you watch TV.
I get that. But that's because they're kids. They're under 18. That's different.
That argument of they're using electricity. They're going to use electricity anyway. That's basically saying, well, no matter...
No, Paul, you're missing my point. Your kids are young. You have a duty and a responsibility to financially look after them.
You're saying at the age of 26 or 25 or 24 that they're going to use more electricity than they did when they were 1, 2, 3 and 4.
No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to you is they are using it. They are using the internet. They're taking part and they're using the services you're providing. So at that age, I'm not talking about 15-year-olds. I'm talking about 26-year-olds who finished college and who have a job and are earning money. Do you not think that they have some obligation to give you some of that money to pay those bills?
No, because it's on you. It's on you as a parent to make sure that they don't squander that money, to make sure that they use that money for their benefit.
Paul, can I be your son? Because you're just a soft touch.
It's not about, see Julie, see what I'm saying? It's about instilling...
You're instilling nothing in them. By saying...
Yeah, of course you are.
No, by saying I don't want any of your money, you're instilling nothing in them.
I didn't say that. I'm not going to. If I take money off my child when he gets older, I'm going to put that boy for him for when he does move out. That's going into a savings for him.
So you're going to give it back to him. Yeah, so that's a refund. So it costs him nothing. In other words, you're teaching him that living with you costs nothing.
No, what I'm teaching him is that because I took her off him, it's going to go to savings and that the savings will be there for him when he needs it. Mm. But he's not going to know that I have it until he gets it given back. If I do take her off him, he's going to think that he's paying to stay. No parent should take that money and spend it on themselves, no matter who they are.
Okay, Julie, no parent should ever take money off their child. Well, hang on, Paul. Hang on. Julie, you're giving money up.
Well, then my parents were bad, were they? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's common sense. Like, look, each to their own. If that's what that man wants to do, that's fair enough. But why, just a quick question. Why would you want your kid living with you forever? Because that's the way I'm seeing that conversation. Because, like, they have to grow up and grow out. And you know what I mean? So, like, how long do you want them to stay at home for?
As I was about to say, until
like when they meet a partner, are they going to be like dad?
No, yeah. At the end of the day...
Let him answer the question.
Christ, let me lead and speak with you. At the end of the day, if my son comes to me and says, do you mind if my partner comes and stays with me, we're going to save for a mortgage. No problem, son. I'm not going to just throw him out and say, hey, get out, you're not paying me anything. You know, go save for your mortgage.
We've already said that, though. Mortgage, college, whatever you're saving for, if you have a job, that's fair enough.
So at 27, your son and his partner, or even his wife, maybe at that stage, can come and live with you free grasses.
No, I'm not going to have them living with me and just not doing anything. I'm going to promote them and push them to go and do something. And that's what I'm on about. It's all about instilling something into them to go and get something. Don't be sitting around doing absolutely nothing. I'm not going to have them sitting around doing nothing.
No, no, no. He has a job and she has a job, you know, and they're earning money, but they're just not earning enough, they believe, to get, you know, the house they want, for example. So
exactly,
so in the meantime, it might take them 5 years to save for that particular house. Now, they could go out and rent, you know, on both their salaries, but they want to save for a house and they're going to stay in your gaff for 5 years while they're saving. So while they're saving for that 5 years, you won't take any money off them.
I won't take nothing off them because at the end of the day, he's my child. He's my responsibility.
He's not your responsibility at 27 years of age. No, he's not.
He is my...
He's only legally your responsibility. Nowadays, it's 23. It used to be 18. Yeah.
Biologically, he's your son, no matter what age he is.
Absolutely. And if you can help in any way, well and good.
You don't turn him away, no matter what.
I didn't say you turn him away. Would you not turn around at some point and say, listen, the 2 years of working there, you know, this house doesn't come cheap. Electricity bills come in the door, gas bills come in the door. Any chance of parting with a few quid?
No, because as I said, that's down to them. If you're going to take money off them, you put it aside for them. You don't tell them you're putting it aside, but you put it aside, you save it up, and then the moment they move out or do whatever it is, they're going abroad, you give it back to them.
Jeez, I wish I had parents like you. Stay there for a second, Paul and Judy. Let me go to Peter Dooley from the Dublin Renters Union and also a candidate in the local elections as well and the general election. Peter, hi, how are you?
How are you, Noel? I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, nearly there, about 70% there, but I still have a viral infection and I'm still on antibiotics for a bacterial infection on top of that as well. But however, I'm there. You know, I'm still living.
Now keep fighting, fit, Noel, and keep the good
side
going.
Anyway, yeah, you heard Paul. You know, if his 27-year-old with his partner or wife, as the case may be, came back to the house, he wouldn't charge him anything.
Yeah, well, like, I don't want to get into a moral argument about, like, people, how they should parent their children. But, like, my point of view is that people, if they're living with anybody, you contribute, you hand up, like, you know. Like, even from my own experience when I was younger, that's what I did as soon as I started working.
So did I. 17, 18. Yeah.
And that was just the way we were. Like, you know, it wasn't anything. I didn't feel bad about it or whatever else. It was just the way you're brought up, like, you know, and that's just, I think it's just basic respect.
Yeah, Paul believes that's old-fashioned thinking. That's the way it used to be, but it's not like that anymore.
I think it's good to be brought up with those that point of view, I think, you know. But I think, as I said, I'm not going to moralize with somebody else. If somebody else has a different way of doing things, that's their own view. But I think, in general, I think, you know, you should offer up, especially if you're earning money, and a lot of people are on good incomes now as well. And, you know, a lot of other people are struggling as well. So, like, you know, their family members, their parents could be struggling as well to get by as well. So the important thing is to work together as a family to help each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's the important thing, that people should look out for each other rather than go for the other side of the coin where it's all about just me. Like, you know, unfortunately, some people just think about that. They think, like, money grows in trees, like, when it doesn't for people who are struggling, like, you know.
Yeah. I know, but is there a moral obligation to hand up money?
There should be. Like, I think there should be. Like, you know, I think that's sort of, it's incumbent on, you know, if you start earning at a young age, I think, like, that's, you know, like, I go back to my grandparents' age and my mum's generation as well. A lot of them worked at a far younger age, didn't have the second level education that other people have as well. Like, you know, so they have to work, you know, at ages of 14, 15, 16 years of age as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, if you look back in history, that stays with you. That grounds with you and develops you as a person as you develop as well. And you remember the struggles that your family members had and that gives you a good ground and what's right.
You are right. I'm not going to, you know, tell Paul how to be a parent, and he can parent whatever way he wants to. But does it not set your child up badly to more or less tell them that you can live here for free? You know, I mean, life isn't free. As I said earlier on, the best economists in the world will tell you that you should be paying roughly 33% of your wages on your accommodation. So in this country, unfortunately, it's an awful lot more than that now because of the way life has gone. But hopefully that'll get better in the next few years, depending on this government. But in saying that, you know, are we not teaching them badly when we're letting them stay there for nothing?
No, yeah, because they're going around, they do stuff around the house.
Sweep the floor.
My 10-year-old currently, because I'm paying into his credit union for him and because he needs stuff to go to do stuff, he'll go and do the dishes for his mother. He'll sweep the floor for his mother.
And that's great. He'll, But he's a kid.
He'll do all that. But that's what I'm on about. It's all about instilling stuff in them. It's not you're not fleecing them. As a child growing up, I got fleeced from my parents when I first started working.
I know fleeced somebody who has a 20.
I think I was paying my parents €125 a week.
A mate of mine has his 26-year-old living with him, and not only does he live in for free in the gaff, he's also giving him pocket money every week, £50.
No,
and I said, is there something wrong with you? You're giving a 26-year-old pocket money.
No, you don't give him pocket money. You let him work for his own money, but yeah, absolutely. Fucking fleece him. You don't fleece him.
I'm not saying fleece them, but you expect them to give you something.
In fairness, he said there, oh, well, everybody's on good money. We're on good money, but look at the inflation.
No, I'm well aware of the cost of living, yeah.
It's never gotten better. Yeah, our money's going up, but so is the inflation. So you're not really going up in anything. You see, we're still the same, no matter what way you look at it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know. So as I said, with me, when and the way I think is, if my child is going out and he's 23, 24, and he has a job, and depending on what he's getting paid, if he's going to throw something my way, it's going into a savings for him. He's not going to know I have it, and then he's going to say, "Oh well, this is what I'm going every day or every week or everything. Make sure you put some of that money by, son. Put it away for a rainy day, go get a house, go do this, go do that," and you just keep saying it to them over and over and over again, and you don't allow them to piss it against the wall.
But can I come in there?
Go ahead, Peter.
I understand Paul's point, but like, not everybody's in the same circumstances. Like, other family members or parents could be in different circumstances as well. Like, so, like, obviously, you could be in a position where you're able to do that, and that's great and fair play to you. And I'm not going to moralise you how you should deal with your family. But the other side is, like, I think it sets up people, I think, for life, for instance, in terms of, you know, if they're offering something as soon as they're earning. Like, I personally, I'm speaking from my own experience. Like, when I was 17, I got my first proper official job, like, I worked in the supermarket, and as soon as I started earning, it's handled up money.
Yeah.
I got
a text in here, probably based on what Paul is saying. Not Julie, obviously. But based on what Paul is saying, they're wearing freeloaders. Yeah.
No, because he was.
He'd
be on social welfare.
No. But if he was working and 27 and he has his, you know, a missus and she's working and they're living in your house and they're not giving you anything, well, then they are freeloaders.
If they're living in my house, well, then they're in my house for a particular reason.
Doesn't matter what the reason is. If they're earning money and in your house.
They're not going to be sitting around watching EastEnders and living off of me for the rest of their late in life.
Yeah, but the example I gave to you earlier on was, if they say to you, we want to stay here for 5 years so we can save for the house we want, and in the meantime we're giving you nothing, you're okay. No, you're okay with that. Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, they're freeloaders.
No, they're not, because as long as they come to me and show me that they have savings, and every week I'll be checking his savings to make sure he has got savings there.
What would happen, Paul, if you weren't around? You know, if something happened, and geez, I hope nothing ever happens to you. But if they didn't have parents, if the parents had passed away quite young or something like that, they'd have to go out, you know, and figure it out for themselves then, wouldn't they? And they would.
He's figuring it out as he's going along anyway. You know, with me or without me in his life, he's going to have to figure it out.
I mean, Peter, I understand how bad the situation is for young people at the moment. You know, when we were young, 19 years of age, we moved out into bedsits or shared an apartment or whatever it was, you know, in Rathmines. Of course, they're all closed down now because they were considered to be unsafe. But in saying that, maybe they were the best thing ever. Yeah. Beans and pizzas. Well, actually, no, we didn't even have pizzas in those days. Beans and toast. and we just got on with it. We just figured it out as we went along. You know what I mean? To
an extent, it was vastly different to what's happening now. Like, you know, now we have
It wasn't vastly different. It was different. Yes, it is more expensive.
No, I'll be honest with you. It's catastrophic at the moment compared to what it was. Because I remember even back when I was in college and stuff, you could look in a newspaper, you could get a flat within a week or 2 weeks later or whatever. Like, you know, you could pick up something and you get it through word of mouth as well. Like, you know, now it's impossible to get anywhere affordable to live in Dublin, never mind Ireland. And like, we've record amount of people, for instance, who are now living at home longer.
70%. 70% of over... Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. There's 70% of over 25s.
Well, absolutely. And I, it, like that, That's the critical issue here is that we've had successive governments, and again we had today with the government talking about missing targets on housing, again lying about targets that they said they were going to hit last year, 40,000 homes, they only hit 30,000 homes. Like, there's a cohort of the population that are doing very well from what's going on with increase in house prices, increase in rents, you know, and there's the whole generation of people are forced into emigration, living at home with family members for years and years and years. Like an older population as well, being forced into homelessness now. Like, this is the reality to what's going on the ground. And it's all these other discussions are creating bigger social issues in Ireland as well. We have the immigration chaos. We have all the other stuff putting pressure on services. So we have all this dynamic going on. And it all comes back. Sometimes the only refuge you have is your home. So I'm not going to moralise, for instance.
I'm going to blame the whole thing on Julie. It's just easy to do that. Just blame it on Julie.
Why are you blaming me? I get blamed on everything, so it's fine. I get blamed on everything. If the light bulb goes, it's my fault.
But Julie, I mean, the text that person sent in, Julie, saying, if you allow your 27-year-old to live in the house, you know, free gratis, even though they're working, and okay, they might be saving, but you're allowing them to say free gratis, that basically they're freeloaders. Are they freeloaders?
Well, look, I'd rather see them in my home. If I had a home and
you're not answering my question.
I wouldn't want to stay again.
Are they freeloaders?
If they're working and they're living there at that age.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think so. If they're working and they're living there at that age, yeah.
No, they're not. And the reason they're not is because at the end
unless
of the day...
Unless there's a reason why they're not. Then, unless there's a genuine reason to why they're not participating in normality, then yeah.
I wouldn't have my children sitting around watching EastEnders, drinking tea, if they're not doing anything with their fucking life. Nothing. I wouldn't have it. They'd have to be doing something.
But I'm not watching EastEnders is probably not the best thing in the world to be doing anyway.
If he's working and he's out there earning to do something with his life or to create a family of his own, then I'm not going to make it any harder on him than they're already bleeding it.
And then,
I'll make his life easy, why don't you? Yeah, look, make the life easy for them.
I don't have it.
My life was hard, so I'm going to make their life as easy as possible. My life was hard.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, but hang on, Paul. You sound like a good bloke. You're working hard, you know, and you're making ends meet and you're living paycheck to paycheck, like most people, by the way, living paycheck to paycheck. So you learned something from going through a difficult time. You learned something. You're teaching your kids nothing if you do that. Now, I'm not suggesting you're doing it at the moment, but if you did that, you're teaching them nothing.
No, because
Can I just ask Paul something?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask Paul something.
Go ahead.
Okay, Paul, now that's fair enough. Look, I hear your story and look, they're your kids. You can make up your own mind of how you want to, you know, treat them. But if they come back, right, say they're 30 and they are in the house and they're saving for a mortgage and that's all great. And then the girl, like you said, the partner and himself, they get their mortgage and they go into the house. What happens if they struggle paying that mortgage and they have nowhere to go then? Will you take them back?
Well, I will, yeah. Because they gave it a shot.
That's fair enough.
They gave it a shot. They done the best they could, and they failed.
Sure, they could just go back to Dad's house. Peter, go ahead. Sorry, Peter. I was going to break.
I think what's really important with that, like if you're earning money, like the bottom line is that, like if there are any adults, child for instance, at home, if there are children, adult. Like they have enough money at home. Like you do it out of a basic moral obligation to your parents. And you know, and if for instance, like there's loads of different family dynamics there. If people are able to afford it, like not everybody has like, you know, 4-bedroom houses and whatever where they could put where people are living. Like a lot of like their children now are moving back or moving into box rooms. Like I know people in their 40s now living in box rooms in their family homes as well now because they couldn't afford the rents to live in. Like this but at the end of the day, they're handing up money at home. And that's what you do because the parents, I know one parent, for instance, and they've only one elderly parent alive, and they pay up rent to the elderly parent because they're at home and they're using their electricity, they're using, you know, whatever else is there, the food and whatever.
Paul's argument is you're going to have to pay for the electricity anyway. There's a bill.
Well, absolutely. And then when energy bills and everything else gone through the roof, like if you're earning, like, and I know other experiences, I know people who are off and who are working in very good jobs. Living at home in their 30s.
By the way, Paul, just before I go into the break, Paul, sorry, Peter, hang on, Peter, I'll come back to you after the break. Paul, before I go into the break, you wouldn't do me a favour before we finish today. You wouldn't leave your name and address just with AJ, my producer, and I'll just keep it on fire just in case I ever need somewhere to live.
Yeah, no problem, no problem.
In case
no
I ever problem. Need somewhere to live. I'm moving in with
but
you.
But Noel, you're not my child, so you'll be definitely getting charged rent.
I could be your love child. I could. I could be. Well, maybe not at 61, I probably couldn't be. I have to go to a break. Paul, stay there for a second, and Peter, stay there. Julie, thanks. Lots of people, by the way, texting in. I'm talking about this recent research from the CSO that shows that, and what they said, 70% of 25-year-olds in Ireland are still living with their parents. 70%, that's a really high figure. Now, a lot of those are saving probably to buy a house or get accommodation. They just can't. But a lot of them equally are just taking advantage of a situation. And as I mentioned, a mate of mine, he has his 26-year-old living in the house. He's not handing up anything. And not only is he not handing up anything, but my mate is giving him €50 a week pocket money. I mean, is there something wrong with people? Imagine handing a 26-year-old pocket money while they're living in your house. There has to be something mentally deficient about you to do something like that. Anyway. See, Peter, I think me and you are old-timers now. I think Paul thinks what we're doing is old-fashioned. I mean, you're only a young fella compared to me, Peter, but you still have conservative views. Well, some conservative views.
I don't be conservative. I think it's sort of, it's not even the generation. It's just basic. I think it's basic respect, isn't it? It comes from the generation.
But there's a lot of parents that think like Paul now. There's a lot of parents that think like that. And by the way, I'm not having a go, Paul. I'm just saying there's a lot of parents think like that now, that they owe it to their kids for the rest of their bloody life.
But that's a big issue, because I know a lot of it. Just said before the break there, like, I know experiences. I know one person, for instance, who's a lone parent at the moment, and she has a child in his, I shouldn't call him a child, in his late 20s. And
they're always your child. They're still your child when they're 50, you know.
And but yeah. hands up very little, next to nothing, like, if anything, you know what I mean? And the person I know who's struggling working in the job, and her child's gone off and, you know, along a far flung holiday for about 3 or 4 weeks. So, like, you know, you have all this sort of stuff happening. But like, I think the thing is, even when you're younger, like, the way the generation, as far as I was brought up and the way you're always brought up, like, you help out at home and you help out, you know, as you said, your chores and stuff. You do stuff.
And that's when you're raising the child. And you would, by the way, you would never see your kids, no matter what age they are, you would never see them stuck, right, if they were in a bad place. But say there for a second, let me go to Siobhan. Siobhan, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm good. Siobhan, if your kid is 26 or 27 and they're in your house, should they be handing you money?
Yeah.
If they're working, like?
Yeah, of course they should be down the mines at 9, Niall. Yeah, they should be. Of course they should be. Absolutely.
Paul said he wouldn't take any money off them. He wouldn't take any money off them.
Well, you know, he's not doing them any favours, really. I wonder why he's not. Does he feel guilty if he does it? Because it is, you do feel a bit guilty. But no, I think definitely. Is it fair? Like, I have two of mine are working, right? One of them is still in school. She's only 17. But I tell you what, she does all right with her little job. And my boy, he's working 6 days a week. So he's doing really well. Is it fair that I work and I pay all the bills in my house that are only going up and up and up, and that they get 500-600 a week pocket money to do what they like with? Not really.
Did they earn that money?
No. The boy,
did they earn the money?
The
5 or 6 or 100 or whatever. Did they earn the money? So they actually went out with blood, sweat and tears to got that money.
Yeah, they did.
And then you're complaining about bills that you already are going to have regardless if they're there or not. So if they're not there, you will not be getting any money off them. So you're still going to have to pay that bill. So what point is taking the money off them going to do? As I said, if you're going to take money off your child, a child that you brought into this world that you're responsible for, regardless of what age he is or she is, well, then you should put that away into a savings account for them. Don't let them know you have it. And then when and if they fall on hard times, you give it to them.
Mm. Yeah, sorry, I just lost Siobhan's line there for a second. She just dropped her. Just going to try and get her back. But I get the point she's making. So she's got two kids working. They're young. And, you know, they're pulling 500 or 600 quid. And you're saying they worked hard for it. So they worked hard for it. Yeah, I work hard for money. You know what I mean? I always work hard for money. But in my life, I've had to pay mortgages. I've had to pay bills. You know what I mean? And give it to other people.
That's your mortgage. You are receiving an asset.
I know what I'm saying, but you're getting something for it. But they're getting something for it too. Yeah, it was Siobhan's kids. I'm sorry I can't get her back. And I don't want to be speaking for her, but they're living in her house.
You brought them into
But if she was just living on her own, she's a single mum. She's a single mum. And if she was just living on her own, her bills wouldn't be half as high.
Yeah,
Sorry, Peter, go ahead.
You can't emphasize children, you know, this sort of stuff, children forever. You have to make them be in a position to stand up for themselves. Like, you don't teach somebody to be always reliant on somebody. Like, you know what I mean? For instance, I think there's something as a free ride you can get. Like the bottom line is that it's an obligation you should have to say, and whatever the contribution is, it's a good contribution to learn to say, well, you know, this is out of respect for my parents. Like, and I think this in is for your parents. I think you should just, I think for me, that's the morals you should be brought up with, where you have those morals where you think it's just out of respect. It's not because you're taking something from them. It's basically just down to having respect for the family as a whole, like, rather than actually looking at an individual to think like, oh, well, you know, they're doing whatever they want with their money. Like, you know, as I said, I've experienced, I know of people, for instance, who are lone parents and they've, you know, adult children at home now as well. They call them children, they're adults at home, who are often holidays, who live the high life, like, you know, and there's people are struggling to get by, and they're afraid to take money off their children.
I couldn't agree more. And the text says they have to learn to take responsibility for themselves, and they have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely.
But they are taking responsibility.
Not if they're not paying any bills.
They still have to get up. They still have to go to work.
That's for themselves. They're doing that for themselves. Yeah, they're not giving you out now.
That's exactly, they're doing it for themselves.
So they're getting. Hang on, let me just get this right. They're getting up in the morning after sleeping in a bed in your house that you've kept warm. They're going down, they're using the cooker to make a breakfast that you're paying the bills for, that electricity for that cooker. Probably the food as well, the bowl of porridge that they pour out for themselves. You've probably paid for that too. Then they go out to work, they go out maybe with a little packed lunch, a couple of apples or whatever it is, a tin of yogurt or whatever it is that you've probably paid for, unless they bought a few things themselves. And then they come home and they have dinner cooked in your house while the heating is on, while they're using your internet, searching on a mobile phone, and then sit down and watch the television on the Netflix that you're paying for, and you don't take a penny off them. Is there something wrong with this argument?
You see what you nearly did there, Paul.
If you were talking to him now, I'd be going, give us a call.
the argument there is, Niall, you're doing that for the first 15, 16 years of life. What is the difference?
Because they're adults.
What is the difference?
Sorry, Peter, very quickly. Peter, tell him the difference.
Age is only a number.
Would you stop hell with that?
Age is only a number.
Peter, answer his question quickly. I have to go to a break. What's the difference? You do it for them when they're 15, so why not 35?
They're your child. It doesn't matter what age they are. They're still your child at the end of the day. You were the one who brought them into this earth.
Go on, Peter. Put him in his place before I go to the break, Peter. Will you, for God's sake?
Paul, no, I'm getting the adoption paper signed. I'm looking for Paul. I'm
going to go up and
send him the amount of people sending texts wanting to know Paul's address. Can they live with him? Paul, listen, fair play to you. Thanks very much. You stuck by your argument all the way through, and I appreciate it, all right? By the way, I don't judge anybody. That's your decision in life.
No.
So be it.
Yeah, no,
all right, see you, Paul. Thanks, Peter, as well.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.